welcome to episode 11
of Ethnically Ambiguous.
This is Anna.
And this is Shereen.
So in this episode, we talk about Saudi Arabia.
And we also talk about a little bit more about Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, and then we go on to talk about Saudi Arabia.
And then we do one more round of Saudi Arabia.
Oh, yeah. And then we go on to talk about ISIS.
And then we talk about Conan O'Brien being an Israeli propaganda artist.
That's right. And then we take a few excellence minutes to talk about a Queens bodega owner / Egyptian TV pundit and so much more.
So much more. Stay tuned. Cue the music.
Who are we? Where did we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born? We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Are you done burping?
Yes. It was a baby burp.
We had to stop. We had to wait until Anna was done burping until we could start recording.
I'm sorry. I have a condition. No, I'm just joking. I don't have a condition. We're recording, right?
We're recording! A few episodes ago, we were really cold, and now the AC is broken. So it's like,
yeah, we
God,
jinxed ourselves.
If he exists, hurt us and spited us.
Good Lord, am I right?
The good Lord...
It's not that hot, but I have a feeling like once we really get going, is it going to heat up in her?
There's some stuff we're going to get super excited about, and we're going to be...
And it starts with Saudi and ends with Mexico. No, I'm just joking. Arabia.
Saudi, Mexico, the new nation.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Shereen and I also walked in here with the energy of like someone who had the shit kicked out of them for hours.
Yeah. I'm really curious what this podcast would be like if I came in, like, after eating breakfast and, like, really up and, like, I just had a dance party or something, and I'm not always dead inside, but when I come here, I'm, like, at my last leg. Is that a thing?
I drag my body in here every day, and Shereen props me up against the wall and puts a mic in front of me, and I'm like, thank you. Just some water, please.
Sparkling or flat.
I'm just like, preferably still. So last week we had an episode where we had Soraya Sebgatian.
Yeah,
that was fun.
She's really super cool.
I apparently was out of my mind because people tweeted me if I'm okay. So yeah, I'm okay. I'm just overworked and insane. Is it that crazy?
I can't believe someone tweeted that. I mean, that kind of made my day a little bit. Just the fact that someone like picked
What's
up on
new?
That.
What's new?
She's my number one fan.
I'm not okay. I'm going to put it out there. I haven't been okay in years. It's because I decided to have a career in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And since then, I've slowly started to just deteriorate from the inside out.
Just become poorer and poorer. That's what's happening to me. I'm just so, so poor right now. But I'm so rich with love for you. Is that... I'm poor. Wait, isn't there a saying where it's like I'm poor in one thing and rich in something else? Richer for poor. No, I don't know.
For richer and isn't that a wedding thing? For richer and for poorer.
Oh, that is some. Yeah.
For
why does poorer sound like a very
strange
word?
I've never been married legally. I'm just joking. Oh. I don't know where I would
Let's
go.
Let's talk about this. Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, should we just get right into it?
We have a lot of Saudi Arabia news, so I think we should just. Go right ahead and dig in. So Saudi Arabia, women can finally drive. And apparently, I didn't know this, but there was never a law that said they couldn't drive, but they couldn't.
It was just like
no
religious
one ever issued.
Law.
Yeah, no one had ever issued a woman a driver's license. Like they weren't allowed to issue driver's license, but it wasn't in the law that they couldn't drive. So it was kind
but
of
they
like a loophole.
Definitely get in trouble if they were caught driving.
For sure.
Yeah. So it was almost like hey, look, if we don't see you, okay. But if we do see you, your whole life will be absolutely ruined.
Exactly.
But there's no law.
Exactly.
It's very weird. Now look, I am of the type that's like, hey, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
Okay. I've been burned by Saudi Arabia one too many times on this podcast.
That's very true. We've
so I understand
faith.
One step towards progression, some sort of social reform. Excuse me. What is reform?
Anna, are
not
you okay?
Real.
Anna, are you okay? Are you okay, Anna?
Annie. Anna. Oh, I get it. Okay. Well, reform, am I right? All that social reform in my head. Yeah, so it says they're not going to be able to do it until June 2018 because they basically have to restructure their entire Saudi DMV. I'm sorry, I don't know what they're called over there.
It's so upsetting that it has to be that complicated. Like, we're just human beings. Like, it's not like we're a different fucking species.
From my understanding, they basically just have to set up a system that will allow, like, millions of more people to be able to get their driver's license.
So it's not about the gender, just about the amount.
Yeah, because they're, like, incapable of doing so. And here is one of my favorite things from the New York Times put out the article about women being able to drive. And one of the reasons apparently that it's taken so long for them to be able to do this or basically to allow women to drive is because Saudi leaders are just like, some said it was inappropriate in Saudi culture for women to drive, or that male drivers would not know how to handle having women in cars next to them. And then others argued that allowing women to drive would lead to promiscuity and the collapse of the Saudi family.
What?
And then one cleric claimed, ugh, say that 15,000 times, with no evidence that driving harmed women's ovaries.
What the fuck?
How amazing is that? I'm like, oh, oh,
my unborn children.
Oh no. And I'm not gonna lie, sounds factual. I've had like some stomach cramps from driving for too long. I mean, LA traffic, am I right?
Wait, these clerics are not correct. Don't give them any validity.
I'm just sitting here like, oh, wait a second, that sounds right.
But it's absurd. It's so
Stockholm
absurd.
Syndrome.
But I mean, yeah. It's one little step for equality in this very primitive, stupid country.
yeah, I mean, it is also because they want to raise the women in the workforce.
Yeah. I mean, so, I'm happy they're making efforts.
Remember, 22 to 30%. Big numbers we're talking here.
I mean, I guess, baby steps, like a very small baby making steps.
So they can do that, but I really want to go over a thing that women still cannot do. CNN put out this article that was like, women can maybe drive now, but here's a list of things they... Okay, well, here's the thing. Let's break it down. According to CNN, this is what women can do in Saudi Arabia. They can vote in local elections.
Okay.
Oh, big step.
Yeah.
They can be appointed to the consultative council. So basically, they can get, like, council roles. They can get, like, you know.
They can be in the, like, town hall meeting.
Exactly. They can attain a college education.
Hooray!
Wow. And then a 2015 report found that there were more Saudi women studying in universities than men.
Where else are they going to go? Of course they are. Like, they're going to make use of all the rights they have.
Yeah. And they're allowed to play sports and compete in the Olympics. Saudi Arabia sent two women to the Olympics in 2012. In 2016, it sent four.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
I had no idea. I want to know what sports they played.
I mean, they probably had to be, like, absolutely the most amazing person in their sport to be able to go. They for sure weren't like, hey, you know, I'm pretty good. They're like, no, you had to spend years doing this. So here's a more fun part. What Saudi women still cannot do, okay, in the land of the Arabia. They cannot marry, divorce, travel, open a bank account, get a job, or have elective surgery without permission from their male guardians.
What the fuck?
That is correct. What the fuck? Yeah, so if your husband's not there, or like a male relative, a brother, you can get your son to give you permission.
Cute.
Your son who's just because he's male.
That you made.
Yeah.
You made a person that needs to watch you.
Yes. So they cannot mix freely with members of the opposite sex. Some exceptions include hospitals, banks, and medical colleges. In 2013, authorities ordered shops that employ both men and women to build separation walls so that they aren't around each other.
That fucking pisses me off.
Yes. They're not allowed to appear in public without wearing a full-length black abaya, which I don't know if you ever watched our web series, Ethnically Ambiguous. We go through and explain what an abaya is and what all the other kind of coverings are.
Yeah, you guys should watch it.
And it's a long, basically like all-encompassing loose robe that usually in black.
It's really great to wear in the desert.
Let me tell you about heat waves. Okay. They're not allowed to conduct certain business without a male sponsor.
What?
Yeah, so if they want to open their own business, they often have to call at least 2 men who can testify to her character before she can be granted a loan or a license. They cannot retain custody of their children in a divorce.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. They can't apply for a national ID or passport without the permission of a male guardian. They cannot eat at restaurants that don't have a separate designated family section.
What the fuck? And, yes. they're also required to use a separate entrance to the men.
Yeah, it's a side door.
Oh, my God.
Like, do you see that cat door right
yeah.
there?
Yeah.
You can use that.
Just crawl, yeah.
If you can get in, you can come eat. They're also not allowed to get a fair hearing in court where the testimony of one man equals that of 2 women.
Oh, my God.
So it says this legal position in Saudi Arabia of a woman is equal to that of a minor. Therefore, she has little authority over her own life.
This is disgusting.
Also, women are not allowed to receive an equal inheritance. Under Sharia inheritance laws, daughters receive half of what is awarded to their brothers. Critics say this is due to a misinterpretation of Islamic laws, sometimes sending women into poverty because they are left out of their father's wills.
We also talked about that in another country. What country was that we talked about where, it was like, it wasn't Qatar. Was it Qatar?
I don't know. Well, I know that Iran's laws are really dope. Like, if you marry someone and you get divorced, you as a woman, the government pays you your father's salary.
Yeah, you mentioned that to me once. I can't believe it. That's insane.
I'm about to start scamming.
Yeah.
Sorry. No, I'm not. I will not be scamming. There you go. That cleared me. Easy. But yeah, so those are some things women still cannot do. But I mean, hey, now they can drive.
After hearing all of that, it's not really surprising that this cleric guy says, hold on. There is a Saudi sheikh. He said that women can't drive because they, quote-unquote, have quarter of a brain, and they don't deserve to drive. So with all of those rules in place, I guess it makes a little bit more sense that someone could think that way in a country so stupid. better adjective, stupid.
Yeah, yeah, so that was... what's his name?
His name is...
Saeed Al-Khajiri, and he was suspended
yeah.
for saying that. Because they were like, dog, we just put out this thing. Like, you cannot be saying shit like this. Like, notoriously, Saudi America...
Oh, wow.
Whoa. Did I just take a glimpse into the future?
I was just going to say...
Whoa! Sheree, I have to tell you something.
What?
There's dark times coming. No, I'm just joking. Well, it's probably not too far off now that Trump low-ass Saudi money. Sorry, he got... So, notoriously Saudi America... What
oh
the
my
fuck?
God!
What the fuck is happening? Holy shit, though. That's wild. That's a Freudian slip if I've ever heard one. Okay, excuse me. Saudi Arabia notoriously, they tend to, like, make their religious clerics shut up when the government makes a... Like, there's almost, like, a law, like, a rule that's, like, yeah, when we, like, agree to something and we, like, put it out there, then you guys need to, like, not say anything about it. And it's like the same idea, like, Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince king land man, has been, like, arresting all his critics.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, no one is saying anything. And while he is, like, younger and trying to make it more, like, progressive country, like, the man is still sketch as fuck.
Yeah. This guy, his logic behind this is, a woman isn't equal to a man when it comes to brain power, and this is how she was created. If a man had half a brain, why would they issue him a driver's license? They wouldn't. Women don't deserve to drive because they only have a quarter of a brain. He insults them, and he went on to explain that when women go shopping, they lose another half of their existing half brain and end up with only a quarter.
Hmm.
Oh, look at that. So I'm happy he got suspended because he's stupid. And,
yeah.
I have to think of a better adjective other than stupid to describe how I feel.
He's a bag of garbage.
He's a bag of flaming garbage.
Yeah.
Saudi Arabia, you win some and you lose some.
You win some, you lose some. Saudi Arabia. Ba-da-da-tsh.
We should talk to them about making that their theme song.
I thought we had a theme song.
I mean, we can go on for more Saudi news while we're at it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so you said right here you have shout out for excellence. If you want to talk about that.
Should we keep that to the end?
Oh. spoiler alert, there's going to be a Saudi Arabia good thing that happens.
Yes.
Stay tuned. You have to listen to the whole thing to find out.
Ooh, this is really interesting. Somewhat Saudi related, but shout out to ISIS.
And you gotta be heading.
The reason I do that, it's kind of a shout out to my day job because they were listening to this podcast and apparently on one of my episodes I go ISIS, and now whenever they see me they all go ISIS. So I've created my own bed and I will have to sleep in it.
Yeah, that sounds awful in public, especially if that was.
Oh, they don't do it in public.
Oh, okay, they're smart.
Just in our tiny little office that we all share together.
Do you live in a closet? Do you work in a closet?
Low-key, yes. Yes, we're getting a new office, though. I've started a Pinterest for it. Anyway.
Oh, cute.
It's literally, I've only pinned, like, those chairs that literally lay back so they turn into beds.
Of course. Of course you did.
That's all I've pinned, that I sent it around to everyone. Like, so, we're good here, right?
Yeah.
This is what we're getting?
The only furniture we need?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's...
Whoa, are we becoming one? Oh, okay, so ISIS. So apparently Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi is alive. The ISIS leader we all thought was dead,
what?
The Pentagon agreed, was dead.
Pentagon's a lie.
He just dropped after 11 months and a long audio message, 46 minutes. It's like, wrap it up.
He has his own podcast.
Yeah, I know. He literally dropped a podcast.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. What network you on, though?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, he said all this shit where he, like, mocks the U.S. He calls on jihadis to rally against the Syrian regime.
He's like, I'm not dead.
Yeah, he insists that ISIS remains despite its rapid loss of territory. He's just straight up like, haters gonna hate, but, you know, we out here.
I wish Tupac would release, like, a 46-minute thing being like, I'm still alive. That would be cool.
That would scare the shit out of me.
That would be the
I'd be like, what if everything we believe was a lie?
Yeah.
Was the Holocaust... Or the Holocaust... The hologram... Did the Holocaust really happen? Yes, it did. But the hologram, you remember that Tupac hologram that went around?
Wasn't it like Coachella or some shit, or no?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, Coachella? That sounds about right.
But yeah, this guy, he's starting his own podcast. Listen up if you're a fan of ISIS.
He's starting a podcast. ISIS's podcast called Straight Up Baghdadi. It's usually 46 minutes long. It's all in Arabic,
yeah.
So get ready for that.
Make an Arab friend. Yeah. That's interesting. Why did the Pentagon say he was dead? That's so...
Reports, apparently, that he was dead. A lot of people were like... Not a lot of people, but like...
Enough people to fucking make an announcement about it? Like, that's
they said without... U.S. Army Colonel Ryan Dillon, who's a spokesperson for Operation Inherent Resolve, said, this is the first I've heard about it, about the audio recording. And he said, without verifiable evidence of his death, we have continued to assume he's alive, which is interesting. And he said, he was sure our people are looking at the recording if there's any information of this recording as to his location. So now it sounds like they're kind of just being like, well, I didn't say anything.
Wow.
So, pretty sure I remember they definitely said he was dead. So, now he's not dead, and they're just kind of being like, look, we don't know shit.
That's infuriating. I mean, like, the government is just... Every day I read another article that's just, like, makes me so furious. Even just a headline. There was a headline that I read, like, last week. It said, North Korea and colon, Trump and Kim call each other mad. What? Like, that's, like...
And they are both mad, though, right?
Yeah, but, like, how is that... It just makes me so annoyed. I can't even verbalize how I feel. Just how... Just headline after headline or article after article, you're just like, what is this country doing? What are we doing?
Here's a quote from Baghdadi. He says that the Prophet had not told his companions when or how Islam would be victorious so that they don't make victory or defeat dependent upon losing territory or some of its believers being killed.
What?
Basically, so he says like the U.S. like is suffering, and that like Russia has taken over the Syria situation. And
not,
he also.
Not incorrect.
Yeah, and he echoes the other ISIS leader, Abu Muhammad al Adnani, he declared that holding territory mattered less and that they would continue to fight on. And Adnani was killed in 2016.
But was he?
Oh God, who the fuck knows anymore? This is straight up like an episode of like...
Black Mirror.
No, what's that show where people just keep dying and coming back?
South Park.
Okay, I could see that, yeah.
Wait, what? Dying and they keep coming back? What show? What? When does that happen?
It's like a soap opera, basically. Oh. Like, you're like, turns out, like,
yeah.
No, I didn't die. I was actually just faking my death.
I was living with wolves for years.
And you're just like, wait, what? Like, no, you definitely died. I buried you. Like, no, I wasn't in there. I wasn't in the coffin. I was actually behind this curtain this entire time. And you're like,
it's like dramatic music
okay. So basically what I'm saying is Baghdadi isn't taking that, like, the Prophet apparently told him to not take the defeats of the land loss as a thing because they're like, whatever. We are still victorious and that doesn't mean shit. We're going to continue fighting. Like, we're still strong as fuck. You can't come at us. We're ISIS. We party. We do what we want.
Yeah, that's, maybe we should guest on their podcast.
Yeah, you think you'd have us on?
Yeah.
We're like, so, Baghdadi! Oh my god, so, like...
So, your beard is so long!
Oh my god, so, like, what do you moisturize?
Yeah. Do you have a beard comb?
Paul Mitchell? Just kills us. I did. It's like, two girls who host a podcast, Ethnically Ambiguous, were beheaded because they tried to go on an ISIS leader's podcast.
That would be a good way to
People
go.
People continue to tell them that it's not actually a podcast and that they should
and
not
they
go.
Should not listen. Yeah. Millennial garbage dies.
Turns out they're not really dead. We're like, well, gotcha! Yay! Dude. Dude.
Let's do that.
Should we do that? Should we just become a caricature of ourselves? Anyway.
Oh my god.
This podcast isn't real. You guys have been listening to one giant performance art piece.
What else is there to talk about? What else isn't there to talk about?
Should we go into... Oh, Snapchat blocked Al Jazeera channel from users in Saudi Arabia. Boring, Snapchat.
Boring.
I don't know if Saudi Arabia, like, threatened them.
I don't know, yeah. What kind of deal did they cut?
So, Snap Inc., aka Snapchat, they got a request from Saudi Arabian government to block access to Al Jazeera news because Saudi Arabia hates fucking Al Jazeera because they report the truth and Saudi Arabia is known for no truth. So now you cannot find that on their app. And I'm very surprised because they only recently started allowing people to video chat in Saudi Arabia. That was blocked for a very long time. Yeah, you can tell they have like a young king because it's like, come on, guys, let's just let them Snapchat.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay.
That's so annoying, though, because Al Jazeera is like, I don't know. It's almost like they're making Saudi Arabia into a North Korea. Like, they're just, they're siphoning what news they want and taking out what they don't want. And it's...
Yeah. They say the decision could inflame tensions between, according to MarketWatch, because I read about stocks.
I don't know how you do that.
I don't know. My life is really boring. They said the decision could inflame tensions between Qatari broadcaster and the four neighboring countries that have imposed an economic blockade on Qatar. In a statement, a spokesperson of Al Jazeera said Snap's moves appears to be an attempt to silence freedom of expression. So
yeah.
Now Qatari businesses are facing more pressure under Saudi Arabia, Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Egypt, because they all broke diplomatic ties with them. Guess what? That's still going on. So now, honestly, like, no one can keep up because Al Jazeera, the only news source even remotely talking about it,
is gone from their fucking peripheral. That's stupid.
So that's our that was our millennial news of the week. Middle Eastern millennial news.
Speaking of fucking...
Why is that so funny?
Middle
it's
Eastern
not,
millennials? Should that be our new podcast?
Yeah.
I do want to bring up a review that we got that kind of leads into the next thing I want to talk about. We got a bad review on iTunes, and I want to read it out loud. It's from this username, Protest, the number 6, and then the words, the hero. Protest 6, the hero. Very cool. The title of the review says, unapologetically anti-Semitic. And then the review says, unreasonably hostile towards Israel. Let me just take a moment right here to define the word Semitic for you. Semitic means you're from the region of the Middle East. So technically, I'm Semitic. Anna's Semitic. Like, Semitic does not mean anti-Jewish. That's a very common misconception because people are ridiculous. But anti-Semitic does not mean anti-Jewish or anti-Israel. I'm not anti-Semitic because I'm not anti-myself, and I'm not anti-the Middle East, and I'm not anti-Jewish. Furthermore, everything I said about Israel in the second to the previous, not the last episode, but the previous episode after that, I didn't say anything. I stated facts, dude. And,
here's the thing. It's not unreasonable to be hostile towards Israel.
Yeah. If you're...
It's not at all, because Israel does a lot of shady shit, and being against Israel's government is not about being against Jews. Jews are people. They're all people. We're all people. Israel's government kills people.
Exactly.
Innocent people. Takes their land. Does whatever the fuck they want. Goes after people. They do whatever they want, and it's literally absurd that you are considered a bigot if you say anything even remotely negative about Israel.
I was nervous saying what I said about
That's
Israel.
Crazy
and
to
I
me.
Hate that, because especially in this city, you talk bad about Israel and you're like blacklisted forever. And I don't want to be afraid. I want to say what I feel, and I say the truth.
And we were commenting on an article about Israel's abusing their Palestinian women who they used to make clothes for them
for fashion
embroidering
week.
For fashion week,
and they never give them
later
credit.
Commented that they were going to use the money they made to basically destroy those people's home and villages. That's not unreasonably hostile. That's like, yo,
pure
that's
facts.
Motherfucking shady. That is so shady. And you can be like, oh, they're hostile, but it's like, yeah, I'm hostile because Israel government, Netanyahu, they don't do good stuff out there.
I mean,
they are killing people.
Isn't it proof enough that fucking Trump likes Netanyahu? Isn't that proof enough for anyone
let's
brain?
Be real. If Trump likes you, you are trash.
Yeah, exactly.
That is fact.
And if you want further, I mean, just do the research yourself if you don't believe what we're saying.
Read
unbiased
anything.
Stuff. Don't fucking read Fox News and all the garbage that, like, defends what Israel does. But the United States will always shine Israel in a beautiful light because they fund their military, they're best friends forever, but the reality is there's more shitty stuff that happens than
there
good.
Are people being killed.
Yeah.
They had their land taken away, they're called Palestinians. I have no connection to Palestinians other than they're people whose land was taken away from them, and now anytime they protest, they're brutally murdered by being beaten to death on the streets, okay?
And Israel has the power of the American army. The Palestinians aren't backed by anyone.
They have nothing.
They're desperate and they go to, they turn to extremist groups because they have nothing else. And then the fucking Israeli army has tanks and guns and so many things because America funds them. And also, do you know, it's just, it's infuriating. If you look at a map, I'll try to find a link to post on the website, but if you look at a map at the ratio of Palestine and Israel from its conception in like the late 40s to now, Israel has swallowed Palestine. It's literally swallowed Palestine. And there's no such thing as a fucking two-state agreement or anything. Like, Israel is swallowing it whole because that was its plan all along. It was never trying to live, like, coexist with Palestine. If you look at a map of what Palestine is now versus what it was 60 years ago,
yeah, it's very self-righteous. It's absurd.
It's disgusting. And you have to treat it as, you have to be objective.
If any other country did that, people would be like, that's shady.
Exactly. You have to be objective about it.
Israel
you can't
is
think about
truly
it.
A power to not be reckoned with, and that's very frustrating that we can't say stuff like, hey, that's fucked up, Israel.
Exactly. And I don't want
to They have to give that land back. Obama said they had to give that land back.
Exactly.
I mean, obviously they never will because Netanyahu is Netanyahu and he'll forever, like, wield some sort of power, but...
And there's always going to be this, like, beauty of Israel that it's a big marketing ploy. And They do it with birthright. They do it with all these things that make Israel seem like this beautiful touristy spot to be that's just like doing good things in this holy, beautiful place. And it's holy and beautiful for so many different religions, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. They all have centers of holiness in Jerusalem itself. So it's not a Jewish state. Jerusalem was supposed to be, and before the conception of Israel, all the religions were there peacefully. As soon as Israel stepped in,
it is a holy land. I mean, yeah. It is like the home of the Jews, but it is a holy land that at one point held just religion and God in its name, like in its world.
It wasn't just claimed by
context.
Yeah. The next thing I want to talk about, Conan O'Brien, he had a segment on his show earlier this week, and basically him and his team, they went over to Israel and Palestine, and it's basically following him throughout the region and like his adventures and all this shit. The segment was called A Message to the People of Israel and Palestine, but they only ever used the Israel flag when they were talking about the segment and like the promos and everything. And the Palestinian segment was literally like a fraction of the Israel segment. When he was in Israel, he was coming up to the Israelis being like, wow, I'm treated so nice here. Everyone is so beautiful and pleasant. And he would go up to the wall that separated Palestine and Israel. And his comment was, it wasn't that this is a crisis happening on both sides. He said, isn't it a shame that these people have been persecuted their whole lives? Or I'm paraphrasing, but it was stupid. And his whole time, when he was in Israel, he says, I love this country. You're so giving. Oh my God. It's so amazing to be here. And he presents Israel as this beautiful touristy spot. He goes to Palestine, and the first thing he does is he makes fun of this guy selling coffee because he's making him into this caricature, and he's like, I'm gonna go haggle with the Arab. And he haggles to get a hookah that ends up not being, it's a decorative hookah, but he makes it seem like it's like this big ordeal and like he bought a bad hookah. And like, it's just, the Palestinian section is offensive to me, and it doesn't treat them as actual equals or people. It almost just it makes them into a caricature of themselves and almost, just someone, a land not taken seriously. Like, he goes from this touristy, beautiful, glorious place, and it goes straight to this, like, in how it's presented, this, like, more savagey area. And it's absurd because they never talk about the Israelis that are killing Palestinians. They never talk about Palestine basically, like, disappearing into nothing because Israel is just like infringing on all of these communities. And so, yeah, it was just, it felt like the segment that he did was just propaganda, more propaganda for Israel, and really made me realize that that's what Israel does. It's really good at campaigning for itself. It's good at marketing for itself.
Yeah, they have a really good PR team.
No, it's so true, because they make it seem like this beautiful place, and no one knows the truth behind it all. And something in this article really spoke to me. It says,
Real quick, Amal Awad, who is a Sydney-based journalist writer, she writes a lot of really good pieces. She said that Conan O'Brien's now famous visit to Israel and Palestine is nothing but an advertising wrapped up in illusion of neutrality and interest, which I thought was very interesting.
That's great, yeah. There is an Australian journalist, John Lyons. He just released a book called Balcony Over Jerusalem, and he narrates 6 years of living in and reporting from Jerusalem. And he is clear from the start that he went in without having what he says a dog in this fight, and he thought that his impartialness would sustain his journalistic career. But then he notes, We live at a time when more people are trying to shape reality than report it. The collapse of the traditional newspaper model means there are more people in public relations than in journalism, and Israel operates as one of the most effective public relation machines in the world. There's a Hebrew word for it, hasbara, or propaganda. Hasbara is even the name of a government unit. Lyons goes on, he recalled years of witnessing injustice against Palestinians, houses being demolished or taken over, heaving settlements that encroach on Palestinian lands, and stifling the lives of Palestinians. They're basically preventing progress to end occupation. And he saw this violence against the population. It was just overlooked. And the imprisonment and mistreatment of, he even saw the imprisonment and mistreatment of children, and he talks about this in his book. And he openly reported on the heavy pressure that Israeli lobby groups place on reporters in Jerusalem to the point where they try to ruin a journalist's credibility if they report on the injustice against Palestinians.
That's wild.
In one incident, he says he was under attack for making the subject of his story a man complete with a name, age, and occupation. It's the humanizing of Palestinians that gets you in trouble, he says. That's... Are you serious? Like... This guy, a fucking Australian guy, totally unbiased, comes in just doing his job, and he gets persecuted for, not persecuted, he's not allowed to do his job right because he's humanizing his subject, which is a Palestinian man.
Yeah, I want to say it's very telling that once again, we repeated this in the past, that Israel kicked Al Jazeera out.
Yeah.
That is a Saudi move.
That's telling as fuck.
That's very telling. To be like, oh, the one news network that truly reports all the truth in the Middle East is no longer allowed in this country.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
So I would really recommend
that's my noise for that.
this article that talks about the Conan segment. And I would recommend you watching it. Go to YouTube, look it up and watch it. It's unsettling when you look at it from an unbiased, like, just don't forget that you listen to this and watch it and just see what you feel and see if it seems unbiased to you, if it seems kind of shady the way how they present Israelis versus how they present Palestinians. You have to look at it and forget that you're watching, something about Jews and Muslims. You have to look at it as just humans, and they make Palestinians, they just treat them differently in the show and in real life. So,
shame on you, Conan. That's not show.
And whoever fucking left that review about us, keep listening. Cause if you listen to that one where I talk about Israel, you've been listening for a while. And if you want to like get the right information out there.
Is this the same person? I haven't seen this review. Shireen sends it to me. She keeps me updated. But apparently they update your review? I don't know.
Your first review was about how our podcast was like fake woke or something, about how we're like we're the podcast that white people listen to pretend they're woke and something like that. I don't
know.
And
that's fine with me.
I mean, if white people love us, do what you gotta do.
Yeah. I don't care. Reviews are weird. It's like hard to care when someone writes like a think piece about you and you're like, okay.
Like, haters gonna hate, but hate us for good reasons. Like, I'm not gonna...
We're like the Israel of podcasting, you know? Like, come at us. We don't care. No, I'm just joking.
Honestly, like, I'm very impressed that I'm talking about Israel this much. I want to be fearless and unafraid, and...
Our careers are completely over.
We might get a lot of hate for this. We will get a lot of hate for this, but I don't care. I'm not gonna pretend that what Israel's doing is okay. So
yeah, I mean, the second they kicked Al Jazeera out, I was like, and again, not against Jewish people. It's a different world. We're against a Israeli government that kills people and then like covers it up.
It's the same idea of us
PRs themselves into being like amazing.
It's the same idea that we criticize Saudi Arabia government. We criticize Israeli government like that. Is us.
It doesn't mean we hate Muslims.
Yeah.
Guess what? My mama Muslim.
My whole family is Muslim.
We're just dealing with what we are seeing in the news and reacting to it.
So,
we hate everybody equally.
Exactly.
Why are you so pissed? On a less intense note, a senior Saudi education official, according to the Washington Post, was fired after a textbook photo showed the late King Faisal sitting next to Yoda.
Yeah, so wait, this I was, saw this article, but I didn't really process it.
Excuse me. I just had to burp a little. So, Abdullah Al-Shehri, he's a Saudi artist who goes by Shawish, photo, basically photoshopped a photo of Yoda next to Faisal. And Faisal was a notorious Saudi king who was very famous for being very, strong and almost quiet and wise in a way, wise, strong, and always calm, according mm-hmm. to, that's the reason why, Shawish put Yoda next to Faisal in this photo. And somehow it ended up in some textbook, by accident or maybe not by accident. I don't know. There was an error. And so this official gets fired because this shows up and they're no.
This photo looks actually legit though. It looks like an actual old photo of Yoda.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. But yeah, so they're getting fired and they're who printed this? And they're all super pissed. So go look at the photo. It's actually pretty interesting to see Yoda sitting next to this Saudi king. I don't know. There's something about it. It
kind of blows my mind a little bit. What if that was reality?
No, it's a strong photo.
Yeah. And it just looks real. It looks like an old fucking photo of Yoda.
It's wild. And I think it's really funny. It's almost iconic. I mean, it is iconic. It's hard to forget, and I think Saudi Arabia's government's motherfucker, god damn it, stop bringing Western culture in here.
Exactly,
they're so pissed.
I just love this article because they're explaining who Yoda is. So as someone that knows who Yoda is, it's funny that this is their description. It says Yoda, a Jedi master from the Star Wars movies, known for his small stature, unusual style of speaking, and mentoring of Luke Skywalker. That's adorable. I like that.
Yeah, and if you don't know who King Faisal was. He ruled Saudi Arabia for 11 years, and he was, one of the known, modernizers of Saudi Arabia and the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very interesting man. I would recommend reading up on him. I once got very deep into his Wikipedia, and, I don't know, very interesting man, like I said. I don't know. Check it out. Go check out that photo, too. Yeah. We'll post it on our Tumblr and our links page, and maybe on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
Go our Facebook. It's ethnically ambiguous.
Follow us on Tumblr too. But no, I'm gonna
ethnically ambiguous 69.tumblr.com
because the other just ethnically ambiguous was taken.
Because my social security number is 69 69 69 69 69 420.
But I'm gonna look up this artist. Shawish looks awesome. I'm gonna look up more of his stuff.
Yeah, does some goose too.
That's super cool.
So I want to give a quick shout out to the Excellence Minute.
Yeah, I also have something to talk about too.
Do you want to talk about it first then?
No, you should. I want to talk about this Egyptian guy in New York, but we can talk about that after you talk about your Excellence Minute.
Oh, is that an Excellence as well?
I think I want to make it one.
Okay, yeah. Make it an Excellence.
Yeah.
Look, there's no rules here, except for the one about Israel. I'm just joking. So, real quick, Iran, is upset over, Trump tweeting that they had a missile test that apparently did not happen. And they're all upset because they're Trump could have easily checked with the CIA or the intelligence agencies to verify this, and he did not. So he just sent out an insane text. And Javad Zarif, foreign minister of Iran, Mohammad Javad Zarif, he was just y'all need to check facts. and he was just this is really crazy. What are you even talking about? Chill the fuck out. We didn't do anything. So now Trump wants to go back on the agreement that Obama put into place with Iran that basically lifted sanctions and put sanctions on Iran's nuclear program. They basically wouldn't do shady shit with nuclear weapons, and Iran or America would lift certain sanctions allowing certain textbooks and things mm-hmm. needed to come into Iran. So Trump wants to go back on that. It's really fucked. Oh, God, I can't believe we didn't talk about this. The new travel ban came out.
Oh, my God.
So they found a fucking loophole where they've added Venezuela, Chad, Libya, and North Korea to the list to be like, hey, look, now we're not technically going against Muslim communities. Now it's like all these other places. So they figured it the fuck out. It's because he's Trump now has like a little bit of a smarter cabinet behind him now that he fired all the idiots. So we're fucked.
Yeah, we're still fucked.
And it's indefinite as of now. They've removed like the 90-day thing.
Yeah, it's a little upsetting because, well, no, it's a lot upsetting because every day there's something. I mean, I can't believe we even forgot to talk about it. It was such big news. And yeah, there's just so much other bullshit going
on. Saudi Arabia, man. Every goddamn time.
Yeah, I don't know how, we're fucked indefinitely. That's what's happening.
Yeah, so Trump's an idiot. It's going to be harder to fight in court now is basically the situation because he's figured it out. He figured out the loophole.
Yeah. There's also one more thing I want to talk about. There's this Facebook series, I guess. It's called Who Is? ? And basically every couple of days they post a new video describing who someone is, like in a lot of detail. They go into their history and they describe how they got to where they are. And there's an episode that came out a couple weeks ago about Jeff Sessions. It is so fascinating to see how this man got to where he is today. He is a racist piece of trash.
Wait, who is this?
Jeff Sessions.
Oh, yeah, Jeff Sessions is trash.
But I knew he was trash, but this video, how long is it? It's not that long. It's only 4 minutes long, and it's very telling about who this guy is as a person, and it's telling about who the people that Trump put beside him, like, just it's definitely worth 4 minutes of your time. And I would look up this Facebook page called Who Is. I think it's facebook.com/nowthiswhois. And they have all these videos. We'll link the one to Jeff Sessions. But I like learning that way because it's like a Wikipedia page, like kind of condensed into a video and it's easily consumable. So, Trump still has a swamp. It's good to know who's what, you know, what one swamp monster to the next.
Okay. So let's get back on track. Excellence Minute. So Saudi Arabia named its first woman to a top government post.
Woo!
A day after they lifted the ban on driving, they took another step towards modernizing the country by, adding Miss Iman Al-Ghamadi she was appointed to assistant mayor of Al-Hubar's governorate as part of a plan to boost the number of females in leadership positions in line with Vision 2030. I don't know what Vision 2030 is. Probably some bullshit they made up. Vision, I actually have information about what Vision 2030 is. It's a vast plan of economic and social reforms aimed to raise women's share of the labor market to 30% from the 22% at present. Oh, okay. So it's basically their like weird social reform plan that takes them years to deal with. So she now has that position. So congratulations, Miss Al-Ghamadi. I hope they treat you with respect and don't talk shit and take you seriously because I don't know what it's like up there. I don't know anything other than they have a tendency to be shady towards women.
But good for you. And, the first people to do things are the ones that pave the way for the rest of them. So, you're doing good things and I love you forever.
Yeah.
One more person I want to give a huge shout out to is this person I was reading about in the New York Times. His name is Mr. El Ghamasi, and he is he owns a sandwich shop in Queens, and he is Egyptian, and he basically goes to the sandwich shop every day. He makes sandwiches for people, and he also is a pundit for an Egyptian television news program. He hasn't gone public for the past 2 years, even though he's done this program for 2 years, because he's afraid of getting exposed. Mm-hmm. And he says the fear for being exposed is that they'll say, he's just a sandwich guy. How does he know about these big issues? But he says, I'm also an educated guy, and being a sandwich guy is not against the law.
But I mean, that's fact.
Yeah. And his television studio is actually a converted room in the back of his sandwich shop past the potato chips. And I think it's just really amazing that this guy, it says his broadcast career began last year, not long after he wrote an opinion piece for an Egyptian news organization predicting Donald Trump's victory in November at a time when Hillary Clinton was nearly 20 points ahead of the polls, in the polls. So he had written a lot of op-ed pieces over the years, mostly as a hobby, but then when that article got out, it got the attention of someone at a really big Egyptian broadcaster, Nile TV, and he wanted to interview an Egyptian-American about the election. The interview went well, and then his phone began ringing with more requests, and he basically just started talking about politics and his experiences as an Egyptian. But throughout all of this, he's maintained this deli in Queens, and I think it's just really telling of the work ethic of immigrants, and I just love I love that
that is pretty
he
dope.
Exists. Yeah, he's so cool.
He's like, yeah, when I'm not telling you how it is on Egyptian TV, I'm telling you can't have a cheese and egg sandwich after 11 a.m.
And there's a really good little excerpt here from this article in the New York Times. He says, during the run-up to the presidential election, his back and forth with his newest arrivals, he calls them his hipsters. He says, my hipsters. Mm. He helped hone.
Mm, he gets it.
Yeah. This helped hone his understanding of millennial disenchantment with politics and their rancor around the Democratic Party's treatment of Bernie Sanders in Vermont and their disgust with their middle class parents outside of New York who plan to vote for Trump. So he, in the sandwich shop, he kind of like was able to gauge his customers in a way that was like, almost like research.
Talk to them?
Yeah.
Wild. That's so wild.
But that he said most of the customers, they vent to the bodega owner and he actually listens.
That's wild. He sounds like a great bodega owner.
I know. And his picture is just great. And I just love this article so much. And I would recommend looking at it. And it'll give you some faith in the world a little bit. At least it did for me. So, yeah.
Wow, this is amazing.
But, yeah, this was put out on September 17th. And back in when this... It says... this article next week, which I'm sure has already happened at this point, but he reported from the UN General Assembly for several stations in Egypt. He sees his role as part translator for the American people to his homeland and part goodwill ambassador for a country where he feels more at home than where he was born. He says, with Trump as president, I feel compelled to explain America more to the Middle East. Yes.
That's amazing.
You. Yeah. So I love you, Mr. El Gamassi. Gamassi.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that great? Like, he wrote one article that went well, and it kind of snowballed from there. And now he's just doing big things, big places.
Big things, big places.
While still having a bodega, which is great.
Alrighty!
So...
I'm out of steam.
I'm very hot. I got so worked up about the Israel stuff.
Hey, we predicted it.
Yeah. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you guys want to... do us a solid and leave us some good reviews. That would
Shireen's
make my
gonna
fucking
come for you
day.
If you leave a shitty review.
No, seriously though, just leave us a review. Tell us what you honestly think if you're a fan. Follow us on Twitter and Tumblr and Instagram and all that good stuff.
Yeah, please follow us. Please keep listening. Rate, review, love us, hug us, tweet at me if I'm okay. 90% of the time I am not. Yeah.
Until next time.
Are you going to bite that ass?
I bite that ass.
Thank you very much.
See ya.